traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And I have lots of guy friends, like Mike over here. I don't like the way my guy friends talk about women. I'm not going to lie.
That doesn't include me.
Sometimes
does it? Really?
Sometimes.
I think I'm pretty, all right, anyway.
Sometimes. You don't say anything like offensive or like horrible, but I'm just like,
so you
sometimes
don't listen
I'm
to
just
this
like.
Podcast at all.
I like to say that.
Men in this room leave. I swear to God, the ratio is disgusting.
It's like a sausage party in here.
I'm disgusted by our team. We have Danny. National Women's Day again. Get our maid Maria in here.
Wait.
I asked our guest today what she wants to talk about. She says she wants to talk about how she hates men.
Wait, before anything else.
Sure.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Oh, it's not that episode.
Yeah, it is. No, it has to be. It's my birthday episode. Oh. Finish the song.
Happy birthday, dear Logan. Happy birthday to you.
26, huh? This is age thing. Just keeps going.
Let me tell you, have I got the gift for you, Logan? It's going to change your life.
Please don't. Please don't give me a gift. Everyone knows this. I hate birthdays.
I give up on your birthdays many, many times.
I don't get them for me. I get if other people want to celebrate, but it's like, I didn't choose to be born on this day. I didn't do anything. It's the equivalent of a participation award. Okay, like I'm a year older, which is good. I'm happy. I feel blessed, but I feel like that every day.
Seems kind of downtrodden.
Yeah,
sullen.
You kind of fucking suck.
Yeah, like the,
you
know,
suck.
Celebrate your like.
Boo.
There doesn't have to be an answer for like just celebrate the fucking birthday.
I know.
Dude,
no,
you want to know the fucked up bringing a cake to a like a birthday kid and a happy birthday? Just, fuck that. I'll never bring him a cake.
Do you know what's even more awkward when you bring a cake to a kid and he's crying on his birthday, and you're like, now I don't even want to sing to this poor child.
No, because birthdays are mismanaged. Everyone mismanages expectations on birthdays, and it leads to disappointment. Oh, it's my birthday. There's so much pressure that this day has to be great. Then things go wrong every year, which I don't know if you guys know. My birthday's on April 1st, so more things tend to go wrong. People are fucking with me. Mercury is in retrograde. The sun's going to hit the earth one of these days on my birthday. I guarantee it. It's a disaster. So I just choose that everyone kind of just leaves me alone.
You think God put you on April 1st because he's like, ha ha.
Yes. I'm gotcha. A cosmic joke. I am a cosmic fool. Yeah.
Speaking of jokes, I got an evergreen topic for you.
Sure.
People say there's a little bit of truth.
What's happening? How'd you guys freeze up?
Jesus?
Oh, because you don't wear headphones. So you don't get it.
No, because if I have to have headphones, I hear your guys' voice a lot more and it's already annoying.
Yeah, but you'll also miss the ancillary stuff that we're laughing at. Okay, anyways, as I was saying, do you guys believe that there is a semblance of truth in every joke?
No.
Yes and no.
No. Okay,
I believe jokes come from a dark place. I don't necessarily think it's always true.
No, anytime you apply a superlative, you can't say every joke, really.
Well, no, but people say that. People say, like, there's like that saying, like every bit of joke or every joke comes from a bit of truth.
I feel like we're fucking up his flow. Yes, Mike, it is.
Sure. No, no, I agree with you guys. I'm happy you said that because I look back at my jokes and I'm like, dude, 90% of these are completely based in nothing.
Farce.
Farcity.
That's it.
Farts.
Farts.
Nothingness. It's just for comedic joy.
Like joy. Why'd you say like Schmidt from
like,
New
dude,
York? Comedic joy.
I'm having a tough morning. I'm putting words in the wrong spots of sentences. It's slow morning.
Why are you tilted, man?
Yeah. Quit hyper analyzing me.
Sorry.
I swear to God, leave me the fuck alone.
It's your birthday. I'll let it go.
It brings me to one last evergreen topic before we roll into it. Do you guys feel like everybody else? Do you feel better on certain days, and like you have good days and bad days?
Of course.
I feel like that's such a generic question, but like, but like I, for me, my swings are so deep. Like some days I wake up and I feel like ready to charge and like take over the world. And then some days I'm like completely like fucked.
You should keep going to your therapist. Let's bring on the guest.
This is so dark.
Our guest today is a singer and songwriter who you definitely have heard on the Nash song, I Hate You, I Love You. Dylan wrote this. I'm so sorry. She's putting together a phenomenal music career herself with new music out and now and more to come. Much of it is directly inspired by her personal life. It's Olivia O'Brien. Hey. How y'all doing?
I did write the Nash song, by the way.
You did.
Everyone out there.
You did. You're many things, but you're a songwriter at heart, right? Uh-huh. Is that like your core?
Yeah, I always say I'm a songwriter before I'm a singer because it's something I've always done. And I never thought I was going to be a singer. I just kind of wrote songs for fun. And singing was just something that I had to do because I wrote songs.
Yeah, no, but not everyone can do both. You know, I find it odd when, because you started writing songs first. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. You wrote that song at 15 and went like multi platinum, right? I want to start with this, Olivia, because like I said, there's a lot. I don't know if y'all know this. Olivia and I met and somehow got to talking about our parents. And it turned out they were both from a small town in Ohio called Lakewood, Ohio.
My mom is FaceTiming right now.
Really?
That's weird.
Yeah. Answer it.
Hey, Mom. I'm on Logan's podcast right now.
We're Cindy. Cindy, how you doing? Cindy, all right.
It's okay.
Cindy, one question before you go. You knew my mom in high school.
I did.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
How was she?
Pam.
Fantastic.
Okay. Love you, bye.
We love you, Cindy.
What if she just came out of nowhere and she was like biggest slut in the whole high school? She's like, wait, whore. Did you say I was on a show?
No, she always says she was really cute and she was like a gymnast. And my mom's best friend since she was 14 was also a gymnast and they did that together.
Yeah. And by the way, Pam was very good. They made it to state. Yeah. They won states.
Remember she told us on the show that she kept placing worse and worse as high school went on? She's like, yeah, anyways.
My mom was a bitch, so.
Well, okay, hold on a second. So my mom's maiden name is Meredith. Her mom's maiden name is Meryl. Mm-hmm. Turns out they were literally right next to each other in the school yearbook. I'm not even kidding. This is Olivia's mom and my mom. Yo, what?
What?
Two kids in LA whose parents were next to each other in a yearbook in Ohio.
They're tilting their head the same. They're both like checking out the same shit.
Lucinda Meryl and Pamela Meredith. Mm-hmm.
Both just 2 steps away from ripping a bong rip. Like, dude, like that, they both look like they're gonna go down to that 70s show basement after this and just rip the biggest bong load ever, dude.
Yeah. And that's insane. I mean, I guess it goes to show how little the world really is. Does this make you feel uncomfortable at all?
Why?
I don't know. It was us meeting Destiny? I hate to just.
No.
Yeah. You're right. So dumb.
I think we're meant to be best friends, Logan.
Okay.
I've never seen somebody get put in the friend zone that quick. Just slap a label on that, seal the box.
Very strange friend zone, though.
Friend zone,
an odd one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. What do you think about Encino as an area? I should preface this question really quick. I actually use the actual word. Me and Olivia are best friends. Mm-hmm. We're in a group chat. We talk all day. We're in a group chat called Poor Things. Shout out Poor Things. Shout out Stas, Sydney, Banks, whoever's in that.
Kelsey.
Father Kells, you've historically been very anti-Encino. Mm-hmm. What is it about the township that really bothers you?
Oh, I just feel like a lot of experiences that I've had here, I just associate with like unpleasant memories. Based around. I don't want to go for Princess Isabel right now. But I've had multiple with multiple different people in multiple different areas, but it always seems to go back to Encino, all of the trauma.
You classically or infamously had shirts that said, I will not go to Encino.
Did you end up in Encino again?
Always ended up in Encino.
All right, you know what? At what fucking point?
So that's my dad. Should I ask him about Cindy Merrill?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to hear this. Wait,
you know, hey, Greg, listen to me. You're on Impulsive right now. Okay?
Excellent.
Talk to me about Cindy Merrill from high school.
What about her? She was good looking. A lot of guys wanted her and only a few could get her.
Ooh.
Sounds like me.
And more guys liked her than women. Some of the women were kind of catty and jealous about her.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your input, Greg. I'll call you later.
Dude, what if you just dropped the bomb? He's like, a lot of guys like her and only few men get her. And I was one of them.
So look, you got birthed by Cindy Merrill.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up where?
In Napa.
Okay. And then what happened that you became this phenom, this songwriting phenom at such a young age? I always find it fascinating how people can blow up so young, like almost accidentally. Like
it was completely accidental.
You were 15 when I Hate You, I Love You went viral, right?
Mm-hmm. So basically when I was a kid, even since I was 7, I find like old notebooks in my house of me writing songs. Like just their lyrics are so fucking stupid. But
you were 7.
I mean, yeah, but it was like, I remember one lyric. It was like, me and you, we were a crew. Like talking about like a guy I had a crush on. Like that was, I don't know.
That's literally better than half the shit I've heard on the radio.
But I find all of these like old things that I wrote when I was literally 7 years old. So I've always been writing songs, but my sister was always, what are you guys doing?
Nothing.
Mike's mic came up.
He always unplugs it with his foot.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry.
My sister was always a singer in my family, and she used to tell me that I was really bad. I would sing in my room, like when I thought no one was home, and she would come in my room and be like, shut the fuck up. You sound like shit.
We all had that sibling. Yeah, that one sibling.
We had an interesting relationship. So I never was confident. And then when I was a freshman in high school, I started getting really into SoundCloud, and I started posting covers on SoundCloud. And then eventually I was like, oh, maybe I should post some of my original songs that I write. And then I posted a couple, and I remember I was on a field trip, and I was in the school bus, and these two guys on the back of the bus were playing my songs that I'd posted and making fun of me. And I went home and I deleted every original song I ever posted, and I never posted one again. And then
I know
what
you have such an overlapping story.
I know,
and you need to give the audience a warning about it to not fucking do that.
Yeah. So here's the warning, because I had a similar experience. I made a body of work when I was young, from like maybe 10 to 13. And a girl made fun of me in my YouTube videos because they were pretty cringy, which they were, but it really got to me. And by the way, some, like, I'll just say she was a thought, dude. Like, she was a fucking thought, but it affected me, and I deleted all the videos. So like the first 50 videos of me making YouTube content are offline. Don't let other people influence what you do with your work. Continue.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wish I didn't do that, but it's also like things worked out the way that they did for a reason. Yeah, so. Yeah. It's whatever. I only had like 2 songs and I don't even remember what they were, but yeah, it was just really crazy. And then when I did I Hate You, I Love You, so basically I tweeted a cover that I did of Nash's song. He only had 1 song out at the time, and he was opening up for Black Bear and Mod Sun on tour, and I was a really big fan of Black Bear, and I was going to go to the show. So I looked up all of the opening acts and I found him and I liked the song. So I posted a cover on SoundCloud and he found it and he DM'd me and he was like, come to the show. I'll put you on the list, which I thought that was the fucking coolest thing in the entire world. I was like, I'm on the list. And then he asked me after the show if I had any original music, and I sent him I Hate You, I Love You. And he was like, come to LA, let's record this. So my dad and I drove down to LA and I was so scared. I didn't even want to go in. He like had a studio and he lived with his parents and he had a garage in the back with a little studio. And I was like crying outside. I was like, I don't want to go in. I'm scared. Like, I'm not a good singer. And then I went back and I recorded it. He added a verse on it. And we originally just put it on SoundCloud. And then people just started liking it. There was a bunch of YouTubers, like Andrea Russett was one of the first people to post it when it was just on SoundCloud, and then ended up on like Kylie Jenner's Snapchat story. Whoa. And she was like, this is the saddest song ever, I love it. And then it just suddenly was like on the radio everywhere. And like basically it took, I think, a year for it to peak after that. But that was the first song I ever put out, and without that I don't think I would have ever gotten into music. I would have never had the confidence to do it. I wouldn't have known where to start. Like, I needed my first song to be 5 times platinum in order to even try. So I think it was kind of what I needed.
I didn't know that was the first.
How could you not
very
know?
First song that, well, I thought like maybe there was some other track. That's wild. Yeah. That's wild.
I was kind of fate.
What did that feel like to have that level of success on a first song? Did you, when you were recording your next stuff, did you have to take into account, like, there's a potentially a low chance that I could follow this up with another song of this level because of how big it was? And did that fuck with you at all?
Well, part of me was like, I wrote that song just on piano, but that's because that's all I knew how to do. I didn't know how to produce music, so I would just write things on piano. But once I could get in with producers, I was like, oh, I want to make this kind of music, and I want to make this kind of music. My first single that I put out after I Hate You, I Love You is called Trust Issues, and it's me, like, the first part is like a freestyle that I did. It's like almost me rapping, like, not actually, but it's like faster flow, and it has like more like R&B pop production. So I wanted to figure out what my sound was. And because I had that song, I didn't feel like, oh, I have to follow this up and I have to keep doing this. Because I was 15 years old. I wasn't ready. And if I had had success after that and those first songs I put out did something, I wouldn't be the artist that I am today, because I had to take the time to discover my sound and figure out my style and get confident. I was so insecure. Everyone bullied me at my high school. Like, anything that I did was just like, I couldn't do anything right. And I left my school and I had to make new friends in LA and create myself. And it took me years. And I feel like I'm finally at the point where I'm like proud of my music and proud of my style and the way I look and how I act and all of that stuff. So I'm kind of glad I didn't have a hit after that.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You definitely have the music and the talent side down, but your writing hits some really like hard-hitting topics. And for example, one of my favorite songs is called Jocelyn. And I'm just curious, like, where does the concepts, like, where does the inspiration for those kind of songs come from?
It comes from my real life experience. Mm-hmm. I pretty much only write about things that I go through, because that's all I know how to write about. Writing has always been my therapy. I've been diagnosed with depression since I was 11. And that was the way that I got my feelings out. Especially, like, I didn't like going to therapy. And now I love it. But when I was a kid, my mom would like force me to go to therapy. And I would sit there and I wouldn't want to talk to these people, because I was like, why do I want to talk to this random old bitch? Like, I don't give a fuck about you. I was like 11. So I would go home and I would sit in my room and I would write songs about how I felt. And so that's always just been what I did. So I don't know how to write about other people and other things. I'm trying to do that, because now I don't want to have to ruin my own life to write good things. I don't want to have to, you know, because people like my sad songs. They like my angry songs and stuff like that. So I don't want to always have to be sad and angry in order to write a good song. So I'm working on that.
Do you look for trouble now? Just because you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I got to get my heart broken.
Of course I do.
Just sees a guy. She's like, he's going to break my heart. I'm falling in love with him.
Is that just for potentially to inspire in upcoming music? Or are you dating people?
Well, I don't
like that out of desire to commit to that kind of relationship at this time of your life.
I don't want a relationship. I want to be able to have as much fun in my life when I'm young as I can. I definitely could see myself when I'm older being in a relationship, but every time I get close to a relationship, I stop liking the person.
Every time?
Pretty much, yeah.
But you have demons of your own, correct?
Yeah, I do, obviously.
Like, what do you think that guy's saying about you?
I don't know.
I love how she laughed. Yes.
Yeah, she's a sicko.
I'm okay. I'm a nice person.
You are a nice person.
She's fantastic.
You can be a nice person. I saw you recently for the first time in a while, and the first thing you said to me was, wow, your hair is disgusting. I don't think you're wrong. But you could have just.
Well,
I said,
have,
nice
we have
to
that
see
kind
you
of
too,
relationship where
no,
I can
no, we don't. No, we
you.
No, we do not.
Yeah, we do.
No, yeah,
no,
you
we
do.
Don't.
Yeah, we do.
She described to me the other day. She's like, you know, like, I can be mean to you because you have no feelings, and I know none of it affects you. And I'm like, meanwhile, I'm crying on the inside.
You literally,
yeah,
the only time you ever cried is about a video of John Cena.
I fucking love John Cena.
I swear.
I love him.
Wait, you cried over a video of John Cena?
There's a video of his fans. saying super nice things about him, like in front of him, and I cried.
He wanted to prove to me that he had emotions, so he sent me a video.
Because
she
kept telling me that I didn't.
Yeah, he stirred the emotions up for the video. Trust me, I know him better than anyone.
John Cena made me cry.
He's an iron body.
I'm not a sociopath. Speaking of that, don't you have a song called Sociopath out tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
April 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you find the inspiration for that particular track? Out of curiosity.
I'm gonna keep probing
you until you fucking answer one of these very specific questions.
Do you really want me to answer that question?
Sure.
Do you want me to answer that question?
It's your manager, Max.
Maybe see where this goes.
I love him.
You know what? Can someone bring me that White Claw over there?
Yeah. Wow. You're 21, right?
Yeah, I'm 21.
Fire. When you turn 22?
November. Whew. Thank you.
She's like, let me take a sip and then we can get into this shit. All right, well, you want a detour? Let's detour for a sec, all right? Just to get back
now
on track.
Now I got the alcohol.
All right.
Oh, whoa.
I know
for real?
When you were talking on the phone.
Yeah, she was shaking a little bit.
I always do that.
Okay.
Because I have an iron deficiency. What?
Oh, it's an iron deficiency, not anxiety.
Oh, and anxiety. I have OCD. I have ADHD. I have depression. I have an iron deficiency. I have hypothyroidism. Do you want me to continue?
Why don't you start by telling us what you don't have?
I don't think I have cancer, thankfully.
Wow, well, like, you guys are dodging it, huh?
Starting off strong.
It's really hard to be light in here.
Starting off
strong. Well, I got sunlight. So you talked about lack of relationship and desire for that. Being in the poor things group, I feel like I know why. You like to party. You like to party, Olivia O'Brien, just a little bit. You like to go out. You like to be on the scene. You like to see the people. You like to dance.
I love to dance. I was actually a competition hip hop dancer at one point in my life.
Do you have a video of this?
I do. It's really fucked. I was like 12 and it's on my Instagram. I posted it. It's so funny. But yeah, you know, I don't really have a large ass, but I can make it do some things that are fun. So I like to do that. What were you going to say?
No, I remember the first time I saw you in Ibiza, I was impressed.
Thank you.
I was literally so like, sweet. I didn't know.
This may be a little bit too much, but would you be, would you want to twerk on the impulse?
You can't ask our guests.
No problem.
You can't say that.
No problem. He's newly single right now. He's taking every opportunity he can possibly get. Mm-hmm.
The reason I ask is because she actually tried to teach me and Logan how to twerk the other night.
Oh, yeah. I did?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
At Bozzy's house, right? Yeah. We're at Bozzy's house. And you tried to teach us how to twerk and it didn't work. That rhymed. It's not a crime.
Because I don't feel it's teachable.
I learned from a YouTube video when I was 12.
No, but I believe some people have like a specific joint in their hips that lends itself to twerking more. Like my hips just don't bend like that. Like I don't got what it takes. I end up just, you know that one meme with the girl with the short hair? She's like, she got glasses on. That's me.
Tina from Bob's Burgers.
Yes, exactly.
Tina Belcher.
That's me. You got it. You looked
like that for sure.
Yeah. So like what part of you is when you dance is like, oh, this is mainly like butt focused or like I'm really getting into it.
Well, I just like to dance.
You make fun of my dancing when I try to have fun at parties. You always go out of your way and you come up to me and tell me, yes, you do. You say you have no, you're so awkward. You're a
okay,
nerd. You
you're
call
making
me.
It seem like I literally come up to you and bully you.
Well, hold
you
on. Do. I can attest. You do. You roast him all day. And by the way, I think part of the reason is because he needs to get fucking roasted.
Exactly.
I'm here to put
him in his place.
Correct.
Tell him what's up.
Yeah.
And there you go. I'm humbling you.
Yeah, sure. Whatever, dude.
What?
I've cried myself to sleep because of you, Olivia.
No, you haven't. You literally haven't.
I'm lying. I'm definitely lying.
Exactly. But also, can we talk about how you just said that I like to party? Because I don't think I like to party that much.
Right.
Like, I don't do like cocaine. Like, I don't do like any of that shit. I just drink alcohol.
You're not one of the powder puff girls.
I'm not a powder ranger.
Powder ranger.
No. But I go through phases where I'll be like, I can't drink anymore. Like I'm ruining my life because I have really bad anxiety. So then I stop drinking for a while. And then I just recently, like this guy that I was talking to ended things with me and I was like, I'm going to go get drunk. And I got drunk a few times and I didn't get hungover a single time because I told myself that I was going to be fine and I was fine. And I told my therapist that and she was like, I'm so proud of you. Like you deserve to have fun.
Your therapist sounds like a yes man. Your therapist is
no.
a yes man.
Did you get your therapist from like a Groupon or something? Like in the
no,
back
because,
of like a-
because normally I'm afraid to and she always tells me I need to go have fun with my friends because I'll always go home. Like we'll be at Stoss's house like just sitting there watching a movie or doing something and I'll just go home because I get sad. What I can't do that anymore.
What is she not proud of you for?
There's my therapist?
Yeah. Did she ever like, ooh, Olivia, maybe that wasn't the healthiest thing to do right now?
Hooking out with my exes.
Oh, God. Always a tragic topic. Always a tragic topic.
What? Mm-hmm. It's called recycling.
What's so bad? I felt like you looked at me like you wanted to say something.
No, I didn't say anything.
What's so bad? I don't understand. Recycling is great. It is. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Save the environment.
I've seen this dick before. I will reuse it.
she shuns you for that?
No, she's just like, maybe that's not the healthiest thing ever, but like, if you want to have fun.
See, she is a yes man. That's what I'm saying. She's a fucking yes. Your therapist,
like, your therapist
is a yes
be
man.
Like, and by the way, like next time, let a girl know. Like, you gotta get involved somehow. Like,
but
dude.
I don't go to therapy for like my bad life habits. I go to like get my anxiety under control. So like, as long as I'm not having that, she doesn't. She's like, you're 21. You're gonna obviously like. I'm not gonna tell you never drink alcohol and never do anything.
But is it working? Because I think like one of the biggest things I found through for therapy and for life in general to control, especially OCD, but also anxiety, is boundary setting. And like you set these boundaries for yourself and you'll notice that anytime you cross those boundaries, you fire back up. And so like, are you drinking a little bit less now? Is that what?
I think that's what it is. I don't like, I'm not, because there was a period of my life where I was drinking like only once a week. I was like, I'm only going to drink on Saturdays because I don't want to ruin my life. I don't want to drink all the time. So every Saturday I would get blacked out. Like I would die. So then I would get really hungover and then I would like feel gross and sick. And then, but if I'm just like drinking a little bit, not every single night, but I'm drinking a little bit, and then I'm fine. I just have to know my limits and not be like, tonight's the one night that I can drink. I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah, well, that's not good.
Well, this recent bender you described was from a breakup.
It's not a breakup. I never have a breakup. I have
What do you mean you never have a breakup?
Because I don't get into relationships.
Well, what are you doing?
I just talk. Well, I was talking to this kid for like 5 months. And then
seems like a relationship from this angle.
No, well, he doesn't even live in LA, so I only hung out with him in person a few times. So it wasn't that
long
wasn't
distance
that
doesn't count.
Yeah, and then he came to LA, and we were like, we weren't planning anything specific, but like he was gonna hang out with me and my friends and all of that stuff. And he texted me like he was being weird. He was kind of not replying to me, and I just felt like something was off. So I texted him. I was like, hey, is everything okay? Like, what? Like, you've been weird. And he was like, yeah, actually, like, I just didn't know how to tell you, but like, I'm not in a place mentally right now, like, where I can be anything more than friends with you. But like, when I come to LA, I still really want to hang out with you and your friends and like hang out and be friends. I said, I literally don't need any more friends. I have so many friends and I don't want to hang out with you.
Why do girls never want to be friends? I have
a song called No More Friends.
Okay.
Classic fuckboy excuse though. Classic. How did the long distance, I've thought about these ideas before of like, you know, you're living in LA and say like I meet some girl in like, for example, right? How do those relationships,
Cut that out.
It's our first cut.
By the way, it's because he laughed
and then you laughed.
Just so you know, if we didn't count,
we're just gonna bleep it. This is all staying.
If we kept straight face for that, it was the first one.
God damn it.
What was it like being in a long distance relationship?
It wasn't a real relationship.
Sorry, a long distance fuck fest.
I wouldn't really call it that either, but it was weird because it's like I felt like I had a connection with him because we talked all the time. We would FaceTime for like 5 hours and watch movies.
Oh, that's exhausting.
But it was fine. Like we would just like literally watch a movie and press play at the same time and like put in. Okay, stop.
I've never done that.
Okay.
This is great.
Danny does that.
There you go. Wow. See, it's cute.
So you watch something while he's in another place? Mm-hmm. Doesn't streaming allow you to do that now?
Like, you can do that on like Disney Plus, I think. But we would like just figure it out. It was like funny how we would like press play and like try to like.
That's very cute.
That's, you're telling me that's not a relationship. You're on FaceTime like, on the count of three. Ready? One, two. No, you started it quick.
Well, apparently it wasn't because it doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
Right.
But also I realized that because after it happened, I was at my dad's house and I was, his girlfriend is a vegan chef and she made us a whole dinner and we've been planning this dinner for weeks. And we went to they live in Santa Clarita. So I went there and I was sitting there and I got this text from him and I literally, my stomach dropped and I was like, I'm sorry guys. Like I just like kind of got dumped sort of, like I need to go. And they were like, okay. And like packed up the food for me. And I got in my car and I called Sydney and I was like, Sydney, we're getting fucking wasted tonight. And I drove my car and I played all my sad songs I listened to and I cried a little bit and I just let it all out and I was just like, oh my God, I'm so sad. And then I got to my house, I took a fucking sip, I took another fucking sip, I put some makeup on, I got cute, and then I haven't cried once since and I haven't thought about it since because I'm so much better now that I've gone through this kind of thing a bunch of times. Like I don't know if I'm like delusional or if I just am so much better at dealing with it. But then my friend Quinn, she sent me a text and she was like, Olivia, this might sound kind of harsh, but I'm going to be honest with you. You obviously didn't like him that much if you were hooking up with other people when you were talking to him. And I think you just liked the idea of him. And I was like, that's so fucking true. And so ever since she sent me that, I've been like super chill about it. And then, you know, I did some more cycling and now I feel so much better.
Don't point at me.
No, because you gave me good advice, kind of what she just said. The best relationship advice you ever gave me, you said, Logan, you need to fall in love with pattern, not potential.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The idea of someone is so—it's so fleeting. It's non-existent.
Mm-hmm. The theory behind pattern, not potential, is like when you fall in love with somebody and you're like, if he could be like this, it's a mirage. It's fake. It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But if you fall in love with a pattern, you're like, oh, this guy, I love what he does. Then you fall in love with that person. A lot of people look at that, like the outer look of it.
Yeah.
And they're like, I like the package. What's in it is not great, but hopefully one day it will be great. And a lot of people will be.
That's totally what I do. No, I do that all the time. And I feel like I fantasize about things and about people. Like I'll create these things, these ideas in my head of like what we could be and like, it's
that's
never
called masturbation.
I think everyone does.
Everybody does that. I did that this morning.
No, not masturbation. I'm talking about like fantasizing about what could be. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I do it all the time. I'm so guilty of it, right?
But then I always am so attached to like the fantasies about people and I'm never actually, I fail to recognize who they actually are and what they actually would be if we were to date, which is why I never get myself into relationships because that's all that I see and it'll never live up to it.
Do you feel like that's more your fault than
I was going to say,
completely.
Are you the problem here?
Maybe, but also it's like we didn't get to the point where we were in a real relationship yet. So, but this thing is like not a great example of like how things normally go, I guess. I don't know. I could be the problem or.
Well, you're so young.
Well,
that's what I was going to say. It also depends. It also depends on like what you're considering. Assuming there's a problem means there has to be an objective or a goal for there to be a problem for that. And if the objective or goal is for her to not date anyways, then there is no problem. There's no fucking issue. You know what I'm saying? Like people should just be out there having fun. Now, the major problem is that everybody likes to keep things cash until feelings get involved. And that's when things get fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like I try to be an expert in that field of keeping things extremely casual, managing the amount of time you spend with people after you have sex with them. Don't bring a toothbrush to my house. Mm. You have no hole for your toothbrush here. Leave it home. Go home after. Keep your dog there. Mm-hmm. Don't bring your pets. Don't bring your toothbrush. Don't bring your bag. Mm. Bring a pair of comfy sneakers to change out of your heels from the night before and a hoodie, and that's it.
This is why I don't wear heels, and I just already am wearing sneakers, so I don't even have to do any of that.
Softens,
I'm always ready.
It softens the walk of shame.
Are you ready for
it
a softens run? The are you going to fucking take
no, walk of shame.
This episode is brought to you by Unleashed. With the Dingo and Danny, a new podcast fueled by Monster Energy. This summer, professional skateboarder Nyjah Houston, shout out Nyjah, we love you Nyjah, will represent the U.S. in Tokyo for skateboarding Olympics debut. But for Nyjah, the real skateboarding happens in the streets, pulling out videos, shredding with your friends, being a thrasher. That's what it's all about. Plus, he keeps a voodoo doll on his nightstand as a talisman, superstition, or secret keys to success. Hear for yourself by tuning into episode one of the podcast as Nyjah breaks down raw street skating and living the life of the world's most winning street skater. Hosted by sports personality the Dingo and professional snowboarder Danny Cass, Unleashed is the alternative sports podcast you've been waiting for. Brought to you by Monster Energy. Back to the program.
She's like this.
My walk of
Marks.
Shame. Oh, I had a really crazy walk of shame the other day. I walked into Jamba Juice and I was literally like showing under boob. Oh. And I was like, I need to leave. It was like 9 a.m.
Do you have heels on?
No, I don't wear heels. I'm 5'9". Right, I'm like, right. Well, sometimes I do actually, but I wear like big platforms. I like to sometimes, like if I'm doing, like whenever Stoss always throws these parties where like we have to dress up crazy. Like we did like a Playboy Bunny Halloween one a couple years ago and like I'll wear big stripper heels and be like 6'3" and just like scare everyone. I like to like be scary to men sometimes.
She said Playboy.
What does that even mean?
She said, I know what it means.
Hey, you're coming home with me tonight. Okay.
We're just walking. No, home. Not even for that. Like I just like to be scary because I think it's like powerful and
also, you're like really drunk at parties and you're that high. Do you ever get wobbly and people are like, is this bitch about to fall off?
There's usually a point where I take them off. The last time I wore the big stripper heels to something, I came home and I fell on my, I was walking up my stairs and I tripped because they were like so big and I was wasted. And my Uber driver was like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. And I had like the craziest scratch on my knee and it was really scary. So I don't know if I'm going to be wearing them again anytime soon.
You said a Playboy Bunny Halloween party. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this party on the show before. I consider it to have been one of the best parties I've ever been
really?
To in LA. Do you remember who was at that party? Yeah,
because Stoss is so weird about her list. Like, she makes it, like, really small, but, like, the craziest people show
Drake,
up.
Drake, Kylie, like, everybody, right? And I always think back to that party because I was dressed as Spider-Man, no underwear on, did bulge out, and because I thought it was going to be like kind of us.
Yeah.
And I get there and I'm like, whoa. And actually that
was fun though.
Actually, remember the last picture on the slide from that night with me and Sandy? We still talk about that. Talk about that.
That one was nuts. We got, those are some crazy photos.
I
was
going to just never. Sounds fun.
I was parlaying into something here. Do you have a Hollywood moment?
A Hollywood moment?
Like where you were just like, yo, wow. Like, wow, I'm out here, dude. I'm fucking out here.
Not really. Honestly, I mean, sometimes when I'm drunk, I'll be like, whoa, like when I was like 13, I would have thought I was so cool right now. But like, other than that, I don't like, I feel like every person that I meet that I was once like a fan of or like thought they were really cool and they're really big or whatever. Are you listening to me?
Yeah, I am. I am. Trust me. I'm a skilled multitasker.
Okay. I was like, I'm locked.
Great.
In.
I love
I'm
it. Here. Guys, go. Stop.
We're trying to find this picture.
I saw that he was, so it's gonna help him.
Last
no,
line.
Are you putting that? Have you showed people that before?
It's on my Instagram.
Oh no.
It's the last picture. God. Yo, actually, you're in this picture too. It's just hilarious.
Oh my God.
Every comment on any photo I posted from that night was, I thought this was James Charles. Anytime I wear makeup, everyone comments.
But what happened here? Where was the disconnect? Because my man's going for a peck.
And she's
and
like,
Sydney's trying to eat your
that
face.
That was back in my very respectful days of Hollywood.
Who is that?
Yo, he's not even puckered.
Sydney. Those are my very respectful days.
How are you so casual
days.
Next to this?
Look at Banks on the side doing a duck face.
It looks like a sad face because he's not getting a kiss.
I was just trying to be normal. I don't know.
Wait, I think my Spider-Man costume's in.
You do your makeup very nicely.
I didn't do my makeup, but I got it done. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, they put a lot of effort into into the party.
I used to wear onesies every Halloween. Like the year before that, I was an eggplant, a unicorn, and a hot dog.
Why are you trying? Why did you switch up? I love that.
Because I was like, I think I'm so cool and quirky and I'm not like these other girls that are just like sluts. Like, yeah. I didn't actually think that, but like,
I just talk like that.
And then Stoss and Kelsey take Halloween so seriously, especially Stoss. Like, she takes it so seriously. She was like, Olivia, you're getting a spray tan. You're getting glam. Wow. You're getting wigs. We're doing matching costumes 3 of the nights. And we're going out 5 of the night. I was like, whoa.
It was a week.
Halloween is the biggest thing with them. So once we got really close, I was friends with her the year before that too, but that was like our first year where we were like, we're all doing matching costumes. And I had fun. Like, I like dressing up because I don't normally dress up. Like, I look like a boy 90% of the time. Like, I don't like to wear makeup. I don't like.
But at least that boy is one of the best looking boys on the internet.
Thank you.
James Charles.
James Charles. Of course. I am. Yeah.
I don't know where to parlay from that. No,
I've actually bumped into you a few times at parties before they introduced me to you. I didn't know you were a singer or songwriter, and you were the sweetest person. So
thank you. A lot of people say
I'm very proud of you for keeping it humble.
What?
Thank you.
I wasn't like talking to her for 10 minutes. It was a high
five. I'm nice to everyone.
Everyone else.
Who's the person that I know then?
What?
The purple hair girl who just made fun of me. And where's the purple hair?
I goes over it.
I'll be honest with you. You kind of fucking deserve it, Logan.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Logan, you're a piece of shit.
No, I'm not saying that. But as far as like, fuck, actually, because I just forget.
This is on your birthday. No wonder we're gigging up on you, bitch. Boo! Oh,
God. Fucked up.
I promise I'm not a bully, guys.
Nah, she's not. She's not.
You are done with the purple hair.
Yeah.
So many people knew you for that purple hair. That's the girl with the purple hair, they would say.
Yeah, but I felt like it was kind of becoming... It was like a crutch for me because I thought... When I first dyed my hair purple, it was because this guy that I liked, his favorite color was purple, and things ended. And every time I saw the color purple, I like thought about him. And I was like, I don't want to think about this dumbass when I think about my favorite color. So I just did everything purple. I was like, I'm dyeing my hair purple. My album, I'm going to make everything purple. I'm going to only wear purple. My whole room's going to be purple. Like, because it's always been my favorite color since I was a kid.
You're an extremist, huh? You do everything you do is just fucking right.
Yeah, I'm fucking insane. But I kind of held onto it also as like, I have purple hair. So like, I don't look like these other girls. Like I can't compare myself to like the blonde girl or the brunette girl. Like I don't have to be pretty because I can just be like the weird girl with purple hair. Like that's kind of what I thought about it. And then I was like, it was actually the beginning of quarantine. I was really bored and I was like, you know what? I don't want to have purple hair anymore. And I like stripped out my hair myself. I didn't bleach it, but I just like basically used a formula and got the purple dye out. And then I just haven't dyed it back since because I was like, I don't need to hold on to that anymore because like I'm confident in myself without having to like be different and like be weird.
Yeah, you seem to change rapidly. Like you really do. And it's
a little scary.
It's interesting to watch because like it's not like I've known you for all that long, but I've seen you go through a few stages. I like to say right now you're in what I would consider to be the Grandma O'Brien stage. Like you rock a lot of fur, big furry sweaters.
I wear a lot of sweaters.
I came to your house the other day. You were knitting. Like it's happening, dude. Like it's you like to lay around with Dexter. I'd love to pull Dexter up on the screen just to. Mm-hmm. You
I was
going to
bring him.
Oh, I wish you did.
Is that a dog?
Yeah, my dog.
Is it a dog?
It feels more like a rodent. It is a dog.
Dexter.
Okay. I thought you loved dogs so much. And you're bullying my dog.
I do love dogs. No, I like dogs.
I gotta side with Logan on this one. Dexter's an oddball.
Yeah, but he's one cute. Of the
honest. Show me the picture and I'll give you an honest feedback about your dog.
You have no pictures of your dog
on
your
God,
Instagram.
Oh my God, Olivia.
No, what is wrong with you?
Go down the fucking line. He's my background
I've been
on my
scrolling.
Phone.
That's your dog?
Yes.
I've been scrolling.
He's cute.
I'm still scrolling.
Yeah, that's a rodent.
Damn, we just pulled up on like half nude photos before Dexter.
I can't.
Okay.
Those
were brand deals with Savage X Fenty, and I made money.
If you're watching this episode, scroll down on Olivia's Instagram.
No, it's I have purple lights on in my room.
Oh, okay. That might get us age gated.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh.
Right there.
Oh, he looks cuter there. He looks way cuter.
This was my first day of tour.
Aw. He looks happy for you.
Mm-hmm. What is it about Dexter that you love so much?
He literally follows me around everywhere I go. He loves me more than any person ever will. Like, he's obsessed with me. He's my best friend.
He's also obsessed with everyone.
Okay, but he's extra obsessed with me. He just wants love from everyone, but at the end of the day, if I'm going over here and y'all are going over here, he's following me. Promise you. I don't even have to have him on a leash. I walk him outside and he just goes around and I'm like, Dexter, come here, and he comes back.
Is that how you want your boyfriend to be?
No.
Do you even want a boyfriend?
No, I already
cleaned it. No, but I'm trying to like gauge. I'm trying to gauge what's happening here. Because you talked about hating men, but I don't know. I don't know if I believe you.
I don't hate all men. I just hate, there's so many things about the way that society treats women. And I think misogyny negatively affects men as well as women. Like, guys aren't supposed to cry and guys have to be strong all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, there's stigmas about like sexual assault for men, all this stuff. Misogyny affects everyone. Mm. And it has made me resent men a little bit because I don't like the things that I see in our society. And I don't like the way that, and I have lots of guy friends like Mike over here. I don't like the way my guy friends talk about women. I'm not going to lie.
No, that doesn't include me.
Sometimes
does it really?
Does.
Sometimes. I think I'm pretty. All right. Anyway.
Sometimes. You don't say anything like offensive or like horrible, but I'm just like,
so you
sometimes
don't listen
I'm
to
just
this
like.
Podcast at all.
I like
to. So you're not a viewer.
No, I'm actually not.
That's so not.
Do you have
true.
Any ideas how many times he goes, Danny, earmuffs?
No, that's because I'm talking about sexually explicit topics. They're not to demean women or discount their beauty and importance to this world. They're just topics that I prefer. That's why I say Danny earmuffs, because I care about women.
No, but men are like afraid of powerful women. And I think that if in order for a guy, like every time I talk to a guy and they're like, wow, you're so like not like other girls. Like you're so interesting. And you're like this, you're not like other girls. so what if I was like other girls? It doesn't make me like any less respectable or any less intelligent. Like, I think that's a stupid way to look at women.
I think it actually does make you both of those things.
What?
I think it actually does separate you in both of those categories.
Okay, but
respectability
I just think,
and intelligence,
I think
literally directly correlated to what the man is trying to
but
say.
But I think it's stupid to associate being intelligent with being not like other women or like not a woman.
Why?
Because that's saying that women can't be intelligent.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
it's not. It's saying that women aren't generally intelligent.
Well, you're saying intelligence is a differentiating factor, and just like any male or female, you might be a little smarter.
Yeah, but I don't say, Logan, you're not like other guys. Yeah. You're so smart.
A lot
I never
of girls say
that.
You're not like the other guys.
Yeah, but not about them being smart or not about them being successful.
Also, a lot of insecure guys.
If you see a successful woman, it's rare. If you see a successful guy, it's not rare. And successful guys can do whatever they want. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get into it because I'm going to start going on a rant. But
no, you should.
Oh, it's fine. We like
to. This one's good. I wish somebody. I wish somebody would tell me you're not like other guys. They always just say you're like all the other guys. Fuck, you're a little bit funnier.
I think she's right. There is a lot of insecure guys. There is a lot of insecurity in the world, but that also goes with females as well. I think when a guy feels insecure, he will try to bring the quality down in the female because he wants her to quote unquote be on his level, and so she doesn't feel like he's greater or she's greater than him.
Yeah.
But that's insecurity. That's his issue.
And
not
guys,
her issue.
Guys like to get their ego stroked.
The next time a guy tells you that you're not like other women, you should say, "That's so funny. You're exactly like every other guy I've met."
I will. No, but it's not even just that. I feel like whenever, like, say that there's a successful woman in a company and everyone else is a guy, like they don't think of her as a woman. They're like, "Oh, she's like one of the guys." Like, "Oh, she's like one of us. She's smart. She's this. She's not like that." They don't associate women with being successful. You have to have like almost characteristics of a man to be considered successful and intelligent.
You don't have to raise your hand.
I just got off the phone with my team yesterday and made my girlfriend the running of my company. She runs my company.
That's fire.
She's the CEO of
guess
Town?
What? I still have sex with her and I'm very much attracted
That's fire.
To that woman. I think it's just the men you hang out with. I think you're kind of hanging out with little boys in LA.
Do you have sex with her or does she have sex with you?
She has sex with me. That's dominant
fire.
She is. She's CEO of Bubba
Town. We love a dom. Does she peg you?
He does.
I don't know what that means, and I'm afraid to say yes or no.
Connect the dots. Context clues.
The thing...
No! She does not peg me.
On the misogyny tip, because I know it's a topic that we wanted to get into with you because you are vocal about it. You're vocal about a lot of topics, a lot of social issues, a lot of stuff like that. I think on the misogyny thing, where it gets tricky is, you know, when you say a man is exposing or exhibiting misogynistic tendencies, but then also elevate a woman's right to do so. Like we're obviously society is not frowning on women sexualizing themselves mm-hmm. or going out and having sex with multiple partners at the same time. I just don't like when one lowers and one raises. Do you know what I'm saying? I think we should all be looked at on a similar plane. So if we're gonna raise women's ability to go and have be more sexualized and run that part of their life, we shouldn't be trying to limit a man's ability to do so.
I don't think it has to do with that as much as it has to do with like we're in a bubble in LA. We're in a bubble.
Yes.
Most of the people that we know are like pretty liberal and pretty like they know what they're talking about with social issues because we're all very active on social media. And sometimes people feel like almost pressured to learn about all these things and to post about it and to be aware because it's kind of our job, right? We have all these followers. We have to tell people like what's up and speak about important things. So we are around all these people that have similar beliefs to us generally. And in the rest of the world, and at least in, I mean, other countries are a different story, but in other places in America, it's not the same. People don't think of women in the same way. Like, especially, it goes back for me to like sexual assault. Like, almost every single girl that I know has been sexually assaulted or has like a family member or like a really, really close friend that has been sexually assaulted at some point in their life. And that's like so scary to me because people don't really talk about that, I feel like. And it's just, it's scary. Like that's completely uneven for me. And it's just like,
well, it's a scary topic and it's the same. I'm sure it's looked at the same way that, you know, mental illness was looked at one point, even back to being gay and being confident enough to talk about that topic. And I think, you know, there's a lot of really strong women out there that are, and men that are breaking down those barriers to make people feel more comfortable about it.
But even with being gay, like people are still having to break down those barriers.
Absolutely.
Though. Like it's not over. That's what I'm saying with all this stuff too. It's like, okay, well, we're okay with women being more sexually liberated, but are other people? A lot of people aren't. Absolutely people are still not. Getting called sluts. And like calling a guy a slut doesn't have the same kind of impact as calling a girl a slut. Exactly. But that's what I mean.
But
like there are words specifically designated to make women feel bad about being sexual.
But there's do you want to know? There is. You were going to say there's not. What? Do you want to know what it is? Bag? No.
Fuck what?
Fuck, no, that's not what I was going to say there. But that has popped up a lot. But the big one in 2021 is that boy's for the streets. And I think it's used on girls a lot too.
Yeah,
but,
it is.
But listen, but who's the girl that, that came out with the song Back to the Streets? Is it Jen Aiko? Who was
Jen Aiko and Saweetie or something?
Yeah, maybe, right? Back to the Streets. I don't want to be for the streets. Maybe the.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about like posting
that's
nudes?
So dumb.
I kind of got lost.
We're just talking about social. We're just talking about social change and conversation. But I think Logan's about to roll into a segment.
We got a segment. We have segments on the show. No, it's fun.
It's great.
It's called More Than 240. Like, no. It's good.
Were
it's
you
good.
About to get fired up?
No.
Oh, because we get fucking fired up.
No, I don't want to get fired up. I'll start crying. I cry a lot.
Well, hopefully you don't cry during this game.
Oh God.
But then again, maybe hopefully you do. This is called More Than 240. These are some of your tweets that you've tweeted. 240 is the character limit on Twitter. And we just want to know what you were thinking.
Oh,
if you could dive into these a little bit. Oh, starting off strong. I can't tell if I hate myself or if I'm head over heels in love with myself.
I'm just really mentally ill.
It's not. I'm sorry for laughing.
No, it's fine. You can laugh.
Did you write I hate you, I love you about yourself?
No.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Okay. I mean, I guess it kind of works too. I think I go
through. She takes the credit. She goes, yeah, no, actually I did. That is exactly what
I go through phases where like I'll be sad and then I feel like whenever I'm sad, everything feels shitty. So like if I'm sad, I'll be like sad about my career and what I look like and my love life and my friends, like everything. I'll just think negatively about everything. And then when I'm happy, I'll think positively about everything. And I'm like, I'm awesome. I'm hot. My friends are awesome. Whatever.
I started the show with a question about the ranges that we experience from a day-to-day life. And I think people that don't suffer with the same fate that me and you do with the mental world wake up every day and feel somewhere between, you know, 89 and 103 or whatever, right? Like that is a cornerstone of the mental illness that we talk about. You wake up some days and you feel like you horrible. Don't even want to get out of bed. Yeah. You feel terrible about your life. And the next day you wake up and you're, yo, like, I'm the shit, dog. Like, you get up. It's a cornerstone. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing I always tell to people watching is, no matter how you feel, how you feel on any given day, show the fuck up. Get out of bed. Get it done. And live for the next day.
Sometimes that's kind of impossible, but we try.
You do it.
Here we go. I really need to stop rummaging through the trash to find men.
When you tweeted that, did you go back to your exes and start recycling?
I think it was like the day after that. I think that was the day that.
Was this 3 days ago?
March 4th.
I think that was the. No. I think that was the day that the guy like stopped talking to me and I just posted that because I was like, it's funny.
But do you mean that?
Well, I mean, I just always like guys that are just like, we talked about this. I like guys that are just, I know we're going to be bad.
So will you stop rummaging through the trash?
No.
Do you uncapitalize your I when you start typing?
I don't have my caps on. Just, I've had it since like middle school.
A lot of Gen Z is like that. All right, here we go. I'm so proud of the way I've changed and grown this past year. I'm becoming the person I've always wanted to be.
Do I need to explain that?
I don't know, Dylan. Yeah, that one feels pretty.
It might have been good.
I just thought we'd end on like a nice note.
Yeah, oh, that's the last one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, did you see how he just delivered that? Like he's a magician.
I thought on a nice note.
We would end it on a great note.
And now watch me pull this out of my hat. Small rabbit.
It's a bunny rabbit. That's all. That's it, evidently.
Yeah.
First
segment. That was mid-bender.
We couldn't go back fucking far longer than a week ago, Dylan.
Remember when we said we had good segments? We lied.
We have another segment.
Awesome.
Let's do a segment.
We do have another segment. This one is, I think, a little more fun.
Oh, that's her mom again.
Sorry. I feel like we should maybe hire someone to do this job, huh? Eventually.
A B-I-T-C-H? What's it called? Behind the intern chair job?
This game is called Olivia O'Brien or Rom-Com.
Okay.
So these are either lyrics that you've written or that were in a rom-com. And I'm going to have my friends, George and Mike, guess which one you guys think they are.
I know this girl pretty well. So.
Huh?
Why are you not playing? Do you know?
I looked at it. I did. Oh, gotcha.
If you want 100% hit rate, I could run. I can get right, every single one right.
First and foremost, no matter how hard I try or what I do, I just can never fucking impress you.
Oh, that sounds like you.
Yeah, that sounds like O'Brien.
Libby O'Brien.
Good job, guys.
Feel free to explain.
Explain it? It's a song lyric for my song Love Myself. I don't know.
Nice.
Well said. Well said.
A song lyric.
Thank you.
Well said. I wanted it to be you. I wanted it to be you so badly.
That's from The Notebook. Fuck out of here with that shit.
Sounds like a movie to me, a rom-com.
You've got mail.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's a movie.
Why do I feel like if the last words of the two sentences don't rhyme, it might just be a rom-com?
Yeah,
like,
probably.
I'm so sorry. Now you just told me that I was wrong, so I won't do that.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I wish I... he's so impressed with this.
Like, he made it. Of course, he's impressed.
You'll never know. I'm going to go ahead and say that's not you. I feel like that's not your work.
This could be Olivia. This could be an OB song.
No, this is Brokeback Mountain.
George up 2-1.
Brokeback Mountain.
I got to try to get back here.
Maybe you say this one.
Who are you talking to?
Why don't you say this one?
No, I'm good. You can say it.
I'd rather love and lose than never even get to love you. I actually don't know this one. There's no way you wrote that.
Oh, this is her song. This is in the beginning.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking good, bro. I'm good. With the purple
love
hair. Let's
and lose
go.
Than never even get to love you.
I'm going
to
throw up everywhere right now.
This is so sweet.
No, stop it.
I actually suck at this game.
Hope I distract you enough from the girl that you love.
Rom-com. I feel like Rom-com. That's you. Yes. I feel like that's you.
Wow. Woo! I know you, huh? I Dude, know you.
Better that's, than Mike, who I thought was one of my best friends.
Hey, add me to that group chat.
I suck, dude.
Wow. Did I never lose one?
No, you got them all right.
That's crazy.
You even called out Brokeback Mountain like you watched it before.
A couple times.
Olivia, I got to say, you're a great fucking guest. You've done a great job so far.
I have so much anxiety right now.
Why?
Because I'm scared I'm going to say something crazy.
You're not, though. If you haven't
I haven't said anything
now,
crazy
you,
yet.
No. Not a single thing.
Okay.
There's all kinds of eyes, prying eyes watching, making sure you're not doing anything
David,
wrong.
When did you even get here?
I was there all the time.
Oh.
I feel like David should join. I'd love to have David.
Can we tell the story when I met David? What
yes,
happened?
Yes.
So the first time I met David.
Come on.
He comes up to me and he was like, Olivia, I have a video of you saved in my phone from May. It was like August or September.
It's all right.
Of 2019, right? And he comes up to me and he shows me in his camera roll. He saved a video, a live performance Vivo video of me singing my song, We Lied to Each Other. And he had it in his phone. And he was like, I listen to this all the time.
I have to say, David.
He has all my new songs. I send him all my songs after I write them. So
David gets included in so many friendships that are, you know, side effects of girls that are involved or whatever. And when I tell you, you are his absolute favorite person. Mm-hmm. He fucking loves you. Like he's where is O'Brien tonight? Where do you think O'Brien is tonight?
If you watch the video back, you could barely hear her singing because you hear.
No.
You guys do stick and pokes on each other and stuff.
Yeah, they tattoo.
I do on him. I don't let him do it on me. Yeah, I did Love and Hate, and then I did Sad. Oh, this one. Yeah, he comes
you tatted
over
him.
Yeah, he comes over all the time. We hang out.
Those were the good old days. Have you done one after the night when we?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Yeah. I just missed the invite.
What's your favorite thing about Olivia?
Her drunk text. That she needs me.
Always
there.
That sounds like I'm asking you to hook up. You've never hooked up, guys.
No. Yo, David is an incredible person. I just have to say this.
He's
like,
great. He comes to my house and picks me up and takes me places.
He
like,
also pulls.
Yeah. David fucks.
He's very nice.
Bitches.
Dude,
he's
very nice.
David fucks.
Pull.
He fucks bitches. No, like, he does. I met one the other day and she was really cute.
She's cute.
You know, they come in groups of like two or three. Yeah.
Bro, it's dumb and you don't know which one is for him. And
everyone David, in the house knows this.
They're all for him.
Yes. He's like, do the accent. I can't do it.
These are all my girls. Please. Do not speak to
like
it. They're
all
Russian. It's Russian.
Like, go back the fuck up.
No, I just want them for the streams. But listen, what I'm saying is this. Great looking kid, great style. Also the German accent. And I will say this. there's a lot of people who have requested the David the German videographer impulsive episode. We will do it. It's going to happen.
Dave, last thing.
Can you say something to your German, to the people watching in German, please?
Don't hurt yourself.
Ich brauche alle meine deutschen Freunde mit einem thumbs up for the next episode.
David, yeah.
Everybody in Germany is like, what the fuck did he just say? Nah, he didn't say anything.
He knows his German. He's like the one person I don't let anybody like even remotely talk shit. I'm like viscerally, violently protective of my David, dude. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you something? David. Can I ask you something that's kind of deep?
Depends.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay, great.
When's the last time you had a real, real moment of love where you knew you're in so deep and you're in such a vulnerable place, should it not work out, where you're like, oh, this person has a piece of me and I may have been compromised?
Never.
What? Ever?
Fuck no. Ever? I don't let myself get to that place.
Why?
Fuck no. Because one, I always like guys that don't, aren't going to feel that way for me. So I'll never get to a place where like, I feel like you can't really have that level unless it's mutual. And then the guys that I have dated, like, it sucks to say, but I didn't feel that way about them. It was more just like, I'm dating them because they're nice to me and I feel like I should be doing this. And I like to live, I'm a very extreme person. I like to live and I fantasize a lot. I like to live my life like it's a movie and because I like to write songs about it. So I'm always just trying to be super passionate and have all these emotions, but then I never, because I'm like that, I never get to a place where it's like some kind of deep mutual love. It's just not.
Your relationships sound obligatory.
I guess.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But also it's not because once again, it just depends on what you want from life. Like if you want, true. if your life is like this, we had this whole conversation on an episode. If your life revolves around building your brand and building content and building your business and writing dope stuff that will give you a legacy of being a great songwriter for the rest of your life or a content creator, then those obligatory relationships mm-hmm. are exactly what you want. And the only thing that would be sad would be getting into a real relationship.
Exactly. I care way more about my work than I do about
But
love.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like people need to start, I'm not saying you disrespect it, but people need to start respecting this idea of people going after what they want in life. Mm-hmm. If you do not want to be in a fucking romantic, deep, meaningful, childbearing relationship, you don't fucking
it would be nice, but I haven't met anyone that I feel like I would even want that with necessarily. Like,
oh, well, that's cool.
Like,
too.
I always say that I don't want a relationship, but I'm not opposed to one day meeting someone where I'm like, sure. This person is like so amazing that I want that. Mm. So I'm sure it'll happen one day, but I'm not the kind of person that wants a relationship or needs someone to be there or like, I'm very good by myself. I love being single. I love being alone. I need my alone time more than anything. So I'm not looking for a relationship just to have a relationship, which I feel like a lot of people are.
Can I say one thing? I'm the deep, weird one mm-hmm. and part of this okay. podcast. You know when you get a new car mm-hmm. and you get in that car and you're like, this is great. Nobody has this car. And then you start driving. You're like, fuck, everywhere I go, I see this car. Why do you think that happens?
Because you're aware of it. So and then you aren't looking for it.
I think it's because you're invested in it. You put your own money. You get into it. It takes you from place to place. And I think that if you have a certain type of mindset, that will always follow you. And I don't want you to be caught up in that mindset because when it is time for you to want that family, want that mature relationship, your eyes are going to be on a different prize and you're always going to be passing that car that you should be invested in.
I don't know, man. Cause I think if I saw someone and met someone that would like, it's also not just about wanting to be with someone. It's not about liking someone. It's like, would this work with my life? And also, does this person also want this with me? There's so many factors that go into it. And there's like, I think I'm self-aware enough to be able to recognize when I see that person. I'm like painfully self-aware. Like that's why I have such bad anxiety. Like I'm always thinking about everything that I, I'm like the biggest overthinker in the entire world.
No, I can see. I just said that out. So maybe you just
I can see that, but I don't think, I feel like for me, I'll be fine.
Also, you're so young. Okay. You're not going to be the same person you were in 5 years.
Oh, I'm not even the same person I was last week. So that was really
the same person
though.
I was before I started.
When
the
we started this podcast,
I've already changed so much. You guys, thank you so much.
She goes like this. She's still as fuck. She's like, nope, different person.
No,
still she's waiting for the White Claw to kick in to slow the shakes down.
Guys, I'm not an alcoholic. I swear.
You're really not. Right now, I've seen you in some tough places.
Okay.
Definitely. No. It was
doesn't
a long
mean
time
I'm
ago.
An alcoholic.
I didn't say you were. You're
I was
great
going
now.
Phase.
Yeah, for sure.
What is more attractive to a girl in LA, money or fame?
what's more attractive to me or to a girl in LA?
You got a group of friends. Is there a general consensus or money, fame,
well, personality? I think for my friends, it's like we all have our like own things going on. And so we want a guy that's at least as successful as us just because otherwise guys get their egos bruised really easily. And I feel like it creates a weird dynamic when a guy feels almost emasculated by a woman that makes more money than them or is more successful than them. And it's just a weird, it creates a weird dynamic. And I've experienced that firsthand because I used to never think like about that stuff. And then I experienced it and I was like, yo, this is not going to work out. So I think that's the most important thing. I have friends that really want to be taken care of and they want to feel secure in their life. So they want to date a guy that has a lot of money. I think it would definitely be money over fame because like who cares? But, I mean, I don't care.
I think in LA is actually the opposite.
If you're talking about those people, but that's different. Like, I feel like that's different than my friends.
No, yeah, for sure. But I think, but on a more grand scale, I think LA is like the one city that bucks that trend. Cause you go to New York, you go to Miami, it's all status. It's all money. Financial status. Yeah. And even in New York, it's even above money in New York. It's almost like old status. Yeah. Too. Like, where do you come from? What's your lineage? Yeah. Like, who's your family?
If you go to Europe, like London, it's even like, you're not even going to be able, even if you're like the richest person ever, you go there and you won't be cool. Cause you're not like old money
from
like,
the right from, family yeah. But LA is definitely the place to be if you're just like rich with clout.
Because everyone comes here and they want to be famous and that's their end goal, so they come here and then they like try to meet famous people to like get suck their clout out of their asshole or something. Yeah. Like it's not
out of their poop holes.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, it's pretty easy to see through those kind of people.
Yeah,
so.
It's kind of,
well, I don't know.
No, they definitely could show up and fucking fuck you up still.
Yeah,
you see it happen. That's true. for sure.
You've stolen all my friends. This podcast has made me realize.
I have.
You're best friends with David. You're best friends with Mike. And then you mentioned London and Mac.
Me and Mac talk every day. I went and visited him and I stayed there for 2 weeks. I saw him every single day. And now I'm friends with all his friends.
Shout out Stodd guy.
Stodd guy.
Mm-hmm. Stodd.
He's the best. And now I'm friends with George.
I know all of her lyrics.
We're besties.
All right. Well,
new music.
Yeah, you do have new music. Your album. Uh-huh. You're supposed to perform at Coachella.
I was.
That sucks.
I know. It really sucks. If it happens, I'll be there. So we'll see. I got a couple other music festival offers that they're thinking are going to happen in the fall. Mm. So who knows? I mean, I don't know if Coachella will happen because it's so big and like international, like artists are coming from everywhere. People are coming from everywhere, but smaller festivals might be able to happen in the fall. So I've gotten a couple offers and we'll see if those happen.
If it doesn't happen, could you just give us one Coachella intro on the show?
All right, you ready?
Now? Yeah.
Coachella, get your dicks out.
Yeah.
That's what I was planning on saying, but didn't work out for me.
That's awesome. New music. Where can they hear? What are they called? Sociopath.
And then I have an album coming out. It's coming out in two parts.
Episodic.
Hopefully soon. Yeah, it's episodic.
Remember our writing process conversation?
We did have a writing process conversation.
Yeah. Fuck up, George.
Yeah.
He can be a part of the next one since he knows all my lyrics, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, got a lot of new stuff coming. Hopefully I can get back on the road and get back on tour and do shows again because I really miss that. But yeah.
Amazing.
Olivia O'Brien, everybody. Pay attention to her.
Pay attention to her.
She's on social media. Olivia O'Brien. Hit her up with that follow. Go stream her songs. Links are going to be in the description. We love you. Thank you for listening to this episode of
And Impulsive. Jocelyn's about.
Oh!
And don't put that in. Don't put it in.
It was.
And so is sociopath.
About that. I go, hey, this shit's about. She goes, yeah. No, if you're still watching the end of the episode, congrats. No.
We've had three cuts. That's it. Three bleeps.
We're beeping that out?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, I'll post it on my vlog. We got it, right?
It's her fault. It's her fucking fault. Hit the subscribe button.
I'm sweating.
You. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.